Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, the Rob Brown Show, final hour. Goes now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Wonderful to have you. Hope you are enjoying the show so far, at least half as much as we are enjoying bringing it to you. Handful of things that I would like to get here as we carry on through the final 60 of the show. A few different stories I'd like to bump up against here. Let's start with this one. Turns out, Caitlin Clark's still pretty good at basketball. Who knew? The double-double last night in the NBA, as all of the sudden, the Indiana Fever seemed to be finding a little bit of rhythm. 88-81, they win over the Washington Mystics last night. Caitlin goes 6 of 12 for 18 points. Also put up a dozen boards and 6 assists. Now, the turnover number is still high. 6 of them yesterday, but as I have mentioned multiple times, she is the only guard threat on the floor. Former South Carolina Gamecock Aaliyah Boston, 8 of 11 for 22 points. She also had 8 boards, 2 assists, a steal, and a block to go with it as well. Caitlin Clark tossing dimes to Aaliyah Boston last night as they knock off the D.C. Mystics 88-81. Here's a story for you. Olympic qualifying taking place, not just here in the United States, but across the world right now, as everybody is getting ready for Paris 2024, kicking off here in just a few days, over a month. French swimmer Raphaël Fontaine-Damas successfully qualified for the Paris Olympics on Tuesday. The 17-year-old had just secured his spot on the French Olympic team at home in their own water by placing 2nd in the 100-meter freestyle behind winner Maxime Grosset. I don't know if I have those accents correct, but I feel like I'm nailing them.
I will say it's Dumas. It's not Dumas. I mean, the S is silent in the French when you... Yeah.
I'm your number one dumbass, Mr. Dumbass. It's one of my favorite commercials of all time, dude. First time I saw that commercial, I laughed like an idiot. I'll be your number one dumbass, Mr. Dumbass. It's Dumas. So good. Anyway, Fontaine-Damas had just secured a spot on the team, checked in behind the winner. He obviously got very excited and went to that classic old swimming celebration, Lonzo, of punching the pool water. Hammer fist. Whoosh, down on the water.
He didn't break his hand, did he?
Nope. Separated and dislocated his shoulder and will not be swimming for his home country in their hosted Olympics this year.
It's a very French thing to do.
Fontaine-Damas had just secured a spot on the team.
And then he surrendered it.
For the record, we lose the revolution if not for the French. Maybe we should stop making jokes, all right? If the French fleet doesn't show up and blockade the Chesapeake Bay, which prevented the escape of Cornwallis in the British Navy, which would have allowed them to sail back to New York, link back up with General Clinton, and effectively reestablish in a place that they did still have the foothold, which was ownership of New York, of Long Island, etc., they would have then just basically had one big army in New York. Our entire army would have been in the South, unable to sail all the way up to New York, which means they would have run roughshod around New England, basically stolen the powerhouse of the colonies back from us, and we would have lost that fight. So maybe let's lay off the French for a minute.
All right, so if we stop with the jokes, we lose the Star Award. So no, I'm not doing it.
Is important. Dimar
I enjoyed the emphasis at the end. You really put a lot.
I feel like I nailed that one.
I think so.
The swimmer has yet to comment on the incident or disclose the exact full diagnosis, but French outlet L'Écrit reported yesterday that he dislocated his shoulder. Naturally wants to swim, but they are not super optimistic right now. Reuters said, quoting Groussot, who won the race, "I hope it goes well for him because we're waiting for him for the relay. He's a bit crazy. That's why he's good. He's not afraid of anything, and I think he's going to progress," end quote. He was all smiles on the winner's podium later in the night, but L'Écrit reported that his dislocated shoulder, an injury in which the upper arm bone pops out of its socket, had been treated at a local hospital later on that evening. We do not know what's coming.
As long as there's not a ligament damage or anything, he should be fine. It'd just be sore.
I got no idea.
Have you ever dislocate anything before? I've dislocated my collarbone.
All the fingers. Multiple times. I was a basketball guy. You play post basketball enough, you're going to dislocate most of the fingers. It got to the point in high school I dislocated so many that I had to learn how to pop them myself. You ever look down and seen your own finger pointing 45 degrees the wrong way?
Yes.
It's disconcerting.
Yes, I was trying to run to turn the windows, roll the windows up, and I slid in the grass and hit the corner of a paver.
The old Titus World
slide. Look, that's why this knuckle is this way. Yeah.
Yep. Little bump in the thumb right there. I don't know if you can see it on the stream, but that little bump in the thumb right there came from a combo dislocated thumb where I also tore every ligament and tendon inside of my thumb. It hurts a lot and it does not stop. Here's another story. College basketball has moved one step closer to an expanded NCAA men's basketball tournament. NCAA officials yesterday presented to Division I conference commissioners two different models at the least of an expanded field, one with an additional four teams, another with an additional eight teams, according to Yahoo Sports. Officials from the NCAA declined to speak on the models. The models would expand the 68-team field to either 72 or 76 teams with additional at-large selections, as well as at least one additional first four site. Any expansion would begin at earliest, not this next tournament, but the tournament after that. If the men's event expands, the women's tournament would likely undergo a similar expansion. Dan Gavitt is the NCAA vice president for the men's basketball championship. He unveiled the models in a presentation yesterday at the commissioner's annual summer meetings. In the culmination of months of work, Gavitt outlined possibilities for what commissioners believe to be a, quote, inevitable expansion of the men's tournament, a movement mostly championed by the power conferences. Shocking, I know. They are getting what they want. As a way of avoiding eliminating any of the 28 small conference automatic qualifiers, the NCAA and conference leaders are targeting the addition of at-large selections, as has been done in the past. The last expansion in 2011 added four at-large teams, which also created the first four, where two pairings of 16 seeds and two pairings of at-large selections meet in playoff games. Any new expansion to the field is expected to result in at least one additional first four site, perhaps in a Western time zone, but expanding the tournament by even just four teams is a complex issue. Listen, here's where I fall on this. I fall on this into this spot. Making the tournament should be tough, all right? It should not feel one of the biggest issues, I think, that the NBA has right now is that it feels like damn near everybody gets in, right? More teams, it feels like more teams make the NBA playoffs than miss it. So at this point, it is very difficult to get people excited about the NBA until you're like two or three rounds deep into the playoffs. I mean, you catch some good matchups every now and then. But by and large, because you got so many teams that get in, people don't really catch the fever for the NBA playoffs until well into the playoffs, at the earliest, the second round. I don't want that same feeling about the NCAA tournament. I would like the feeling to be that making it is special. The mid-major champions get to go. The power conference champions get to go. And then we maintain, even though there will be controversy attached to it, we maintain the rest is at-large bids. And we hand them out to teams based on performance and what has been accomplished. And that way, you don't water it down so much. I think we get to the point where we are watering it down too much. We get to the point where, outside of those who fill out brackets and those who like to wagertain themselves a little bit with the tournament, the more we water it down, the less special it feels. And let's be real. The NCAA tournament every March is one of the most special sporting events that we have in America, right? Like, it is one of the few things. Let's put it this way. Nobody pays attention to college basketball from what? October, November, end of November, until the selection committee all gets together in whatever hotel ballroom they're hanging out in that year. And then all of a sudden, for 3 weeks, college basketball is all anybody in this country gives a gosh darned about, right? So if we get to the point that we're watering it down and it feels like more teams get in than are necessary, especially considering how rarely it is that you have a bubble team even competing for a natty, forget winning it, I just kind of feel like that. I feel like that just waters it down a little bit. I don't love it. I don't love it. We'll talk more about that on tomorrow's show. Tiger Woods, babe. Charlie's on his way to play some high-level amateur golf. Charlie Woods, at 15 years of age, has earned a spot to the U.S. Amateur Open, which is cool. Charlie Woods shot a 1-under-71 at Eagle Trace to be a medalist from his qualifier, one of four players to qualify from that site. Charlie said, quote, "I didn't play great my first two holes, but I played really good for the last 16. I just told myself to not make any more bogeys or doubles, and I took advantage of some nice birdie looks when I had them." Tiger Woods, his papa bear, was 14 when he qualified for his first U.S. Junior, reaching the semifinals. He won the first U.S. Junior Amateur a year later at Bay Hill in 19 holes and is the only player to win the U.S. Junior three straight times.
See, Rob, all you have to do is tell yourself not to double bogey and do all the, and then you won't.
So you're saying
it works for Charlie, so it should work for you.
You're saying the strategy of slamming the head of your driver into the ground and saying stop doing that, you moron, is not the self-confidence boost I need?
No, that's probably whatever the opposite is. Yeah, that's the opposite for sure.
You are telling me that taking my pitching wedge and just chunking it into the same lake I just hit a golf ball into while calling myself a, is it helping?
It's probably entertaining for those around you, although there might be some fear, because I've seen that look of rage when you only in the bowling alley. So I'm imagining what it's like on the golf course.
Worse.
Okay.
Worse. Because, right, you know, if I go and I have a crap game of bowling, I'm out like $7. You go have a crap day of golf, you're out like $100. It's not cool.
It's about the experience. It's not about the score. You ain't winning nothing.
Yes, as we know, we all play sports for the experience. No, I play to win, bud. I play to win.
Do you?
Do you think when we go to Columbia?
When's the last time you won? I'm just curious. You talk about your golf game all the time. When's the last time you won?
My inability.
So technically,
not stop
you don't
me.
Play to win, do you?
Yes, I do. I play to beat my own best score. All right.
There you go. Because golf's an individual sport. Doesn't matter. Everybody else is, you know, five better than you. But
lack of ability does not stop me from thinking I could go dominate the U.S. Open. All right. It's not the same thing.
You're better than me, but you're not as good as Diesel because he just posted a score that he just...
He posted the same score I posted on that last time I played that course.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
I think Diesel has caught up with me. But after I got Diesel into golf a couple of years ago, after I inspired him to take up a phenomenal sport, Diesel had a run where he was playing golf like every damn day for like 7 months.
He is obsessive with whatever his passion
is.
He definitely is. But it's good to. Are you still his golf guru, or has he moved on?
Yeah, he actually called me yesterday. He's like, "You want to go play in the morning?" And I was like, "Dude, I'm working." And he was like, "Oh, why?"
Yeah, I was asking the same question for 4 hours yesterday on the air.
So we can go see Creed and sleep in the next day.
Here's the thing: I would have been able to anyway.
Right, but it would have cost me a day of vacation for that.
Okay. Well.
And now it doesn't.
Whatever.
Now you still get to, and it didn't cost you a day of vacation. You're welcome. You're still coming out on the winning end
of this.
Well,
I haven't requested it off yet. He may say no.
You better get it in. It's Creed. All right? We're going to be hurting the next morning for very different reasons, but hurting nonetheless.
I just want to make it till the next morning because it's going to be pretty hot probably.
Hey, man. Sacrifices must be made.
And made. I don't know what you said, but it wasn't made.
Oh, man. U.S. Junior Open is July 22nd through 28th in Detroit. Charlie Woods will be amongst 264 players who will play 36 holes of stroke play on the north and south course of Oakland Hills to determine which 64 make it into the big tournament. Got a few more stories that we will get to coming up, but that is after Fight Club with the great one, Lonzo. We talked boxing, MMA.
You leaned into that one. I'm surprised you didn't pull something.
I had to make up for saying nade a minute ago. I had to fight back. Fight Club's up next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into the Fight Club, where we have bionic elbows all the way around, except for Rob Brown. He gets choke slammed because he's too tall. I can't, unless I, you know, knock him down before I do it. I probably wouldn't be able to do that.
What's your signature finisher?
You can't. I don't know. It would have to be something scorpion death drop like. Yeah, because I always wanted to be a part of a tag team called Armageddon and Rapture. I couldn't figure out if I was going to be Armageddon or if I was going to be Rapture.
Oh, you'd be Rapture, dude.
Because of the hair, probably Rapture. So, yes. So it would have something to do with some sort of doomsday ending, but it would definitely be some scorpion death drop thing. Like maybe off the rope, top rope or something, which you would probably kill someone. So you probably couldn't do that. Well, then do something like Sol Ruka. Some kind of move like that.
So nasty. It's so gnarly, dude. I love it.
It is. It is. All right. Speaking of nasty, there was a debut or a re-debut or like a retelling. I don't know how you want to put it, but Monday night, there was a countdown all weekend. We were waiting to find out who was going to be in the White Six. And I love how they spell it, S-I-C-K, and then there's a six on the end. What did you think about the debut?
It was different. It was different. I have said a number of times, I wonder if after the departure of Undertaker, I wonder if a supernatural-ish gimmick can still work, especially in the era where maintaining kayfabe is not impossible. It is wildly, wildly difficult to do. I wonder if a supernatural gimmick can work. And I that was kind of the intrigue in seeing the faction debut was, is it going to be supernatural or is it just going to be a bunch of psychopathic, violent people? Well, they very clearly are going with the supernatural angle to it. You had the fog, which means either A, Uncle Howdy can control the elements like Storm from the X-Men, or B, he also murdered the effects guy and stole his fog machine.
See, I think it's that. I think it's not going to be supernatural. I know the first outing had the appearance of that, but it was more horror show than it was supernatural to me. I think they're going to be the one. All the things that led you to videos basically talked about people who have been forgotten. Nikki, definitely forgotten. I mean, spent a lot of the time in the last year just standing in the background or showing up behind other people doing vignettes. Definitely forgotten. Dexter Lumis, brought up to the main roster, then disappeared. I mean, these are people who were pretty good. The most active wrestler out of all of them is Joe Gacy. And always thought he should move up and be a part of a faction like this. I am looking forward to what they're going to do, and I don't think it's going to be supernatural. I think the entrance is going to be that way. I think they're going to be psychotic. I think they're going to be sanity-like in a little bit, in a way, where you get old Nikki back where she's slapping herself and just going nuts, which you got to see live in Spartanburg, and it was just wild when she came out. So now she's doing the same thing, but with makeup. I really don't believe they're going to go the way that you're afraid they're going to go.
And for the record, I hope not, right? Like, I think the Fiend from Bray Wyatt was kind of had a foot in both worlds, right?
Triple H has done pretty well.
For sure.
Since he's been in control.
For sure. And I'm not saying that he won't hear. And I think kind of having a foot in both worlds kind of works because you can have fun with the effects and all that, but you can still always kind of tie it back down to, yeah, they're doing underhanded stuff to scare you a little bit. It's kind of like when somebody puts on war paint, right? Like when the Uruk-hai show up with the handprint on their face, like it doesn't change anything. It just makes you look scary. I am intrigued to see how they play off not the intro as far as them coming out on the stage and having their pictures made and all that. I am curious as to how they play off that backstage segment because they murdered a bunch of people. All right. Now, obviously you had Rowan carrying that big hammer and that could be a part of it. But I mean, it was very clearly shot to intend as if Chad Gable had a bullet hole in his head. See, when they went into Gorilla, there was a guy leaning against the back wall and there was blood splatter on the wall that if you have ever watched a murder show was a headshot blood splatter. I mean, like, you can say you didn't take it that way, but as somebody who has watched all the violent movies, Chad Gable looked like a guy who got tapped in the head by a pistol. What he looked like.
I think he got tapped in the head by the sledgehammer. I think that's what
sledgehammer,
it is.
I don't care if it has a point on it. It does not look like that.
Right.
That was a bullet hole.
All right.
So that is kind of what I'm intrigued by is...
You're breaking this down like Justin Fields tape.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So speaking of Chad Gable, what are they going to do? What are they going to do?
They're going to bury him. They're going to eulogize him next week.
Does he disappear for a while? Or does he disappear from Raw and show up on SmackDown? I mean, what are they going to do with it? Are they going to have him recovering in a hospital and he comes back and he has a personality change? Suddenly, Chad the heel that we got that just lost his entire family is Chad the baby face going, please come back to me. Please come back. I'm not the same guy because... You know, because
I got shot in the head.
Because he got hit in the head with a sledgehammer, and I've been around people with concussions, and sometimes the personalities change.
I really don't know, and I guess that is again to me, wrestling is at its best when those of us that are over analytical dorks go, I don't know, I don't know where we're going with this, right? And now the problem you bump into when you say I don't know where we're going with this. The problem that you bump into is that they might go somewhere that sucks. We've seen it a billion times. That's kind of wrestling. And part of it is experimental and feeling stuff out and trying to figure out what works and what doesn't. I don't know where they go with it. Here's what I do know. What I do know is It is important to Bo Wyatt. It is important to everyone backstage that had love for Bray, who is, from what I understand, one of the most likable guys ever backstage. It is important to all of them that this goes right and that this looks good and that this continues the legacy Bray left behind.
Yeah, I don't think they harmed the legacy by bringing it back if they don't think they have a good plan.
Correct. And that is why, as if I'm being honest, as kind of corny as it was very B horror movie looking, right? Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's pro wrestling. There's going to be some corny stuff back there.
Which is not much different than what they were doing with the latest iteration of Bray Wyatt.
Sure.
When he was just coming out and Uncle Howdy kept showing up and things like that. It's just kind of a continuation of that. One of the places in this building where the, other than this show and one other show where wrestling is talked about the most, is the restroom. And I was talking to Nine yesterday, I think it was, or Tuesday or something, and I asked him what he thought about it, and he said he really enjoyed it. And I asked him who the sixth member was, just like I asked you, and he also thinks it's Bray in spirit, and I don't. I think they bring a sixth person in.
So Nine and I apparently both think that the sixth member is Bray Wyatt or the spirit of Bray Wyatt. And listen, I would not be shocked. I know I'm reiterating for the sake of setting up my point. I would not be shocked if
I'm sure you're going to make a good point.
I always do. I would not be shocked if every now and then there is some sort of Bray Wyatt. Not, obviously not interaction, but some sort of message or leadership from Bray Wyatt, whether they pull it from old clips of Bray and he's speaking to them, or they have, you know, Nikki Cross playing the role of Sister Abigail, who is speaking to Bray, speaking to the Fiend on the other side, or speaking to whatever. I would not be shocked if Bray is included as a character. Now, if there is one more waiting, it's Alexa Bliss, right? Like, Alexa would be a part of this because of how close she was with Bo Wyatt, both in show and out of kayfabe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm dumb and thinking fast. If there is a sixth member, it will be Alexa. But the fact that Alexa, from what I understand, who had her baby a while back, is physically ready to come back. First off, I don't know that she wants to. We haven't really seen or heard her talking about getting back into the wrestling as of late. But if she wants to, she's ready. I really do think that they are going to continue to act as if Bray Wyatt is a member and maybe like leading from the other side, because that kind of fits in with this gimmick.
Okay, we'll see. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope they succeed and not fail. There are some gimmicks you're like, yeah, that's not going to work. This one really, really needs to. All right, speaking of gimmicks, or maybe not, I don't know if you knew this, Drew McIntyre quit Monday. Did you know that?
That was so good, dude. That was so good. I was sitting there, and I watched Raw live on Monday. I usually do not watch the show live. I usually come in and watch them while I'm finishing up show prep the next morning so I can skip through commercial breaks and all that. I watched it live on Monday for the first time in, I don't know, probably since the go-home show to WrestleMania. And I was gassed about what McIntyre was going to say when he got on the mic. So for him to just drop a, I quit, and walk out, and then get into an altercation with Triple H backstage, with Adam Pearce backstage, with every power that be, and still just leave, I'm really intrigued. Now, this is one of those spots that I would say, there are days I wish old school kayfabe was still real. Because courtesy of Dwayne, we know that McIntyre signed a big fat contract extension with WWE like a couple of weeks ago.
My wife asked me, she's like, I just saw Drew McIntyre quit because she didn't watch it. Did he really quit? I was like, no, he just signed a big contract.
He just got very rich working for this company.
All right, SmackDown.
He's not quitting, but
SmackDown's in Chicago.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo. So, and so my thought is, this is McIntyre lulling Punk. Punk's going to come out.
CM Punk said he wouldn't be there on Raw, but he said he will be there on SmackDown.
Yeah. So he's going to come out. He's going to cut a big promo about how he won. He's going to cut a big promo about how he made Drew quit and Drew's weak and he's the best and yada, yada, yada. And then Drew McIntyre's going to sneak into the ring and beat the absolute hell out of CM Punk in front of his Chicago fan base. Here's the one thing I can't have happen. I can't have Punk beat up McIntyre just because he's in Chicago. It will kill any interest I have in that angle if they do that.
Agreed, and I don't think they'll do that. I think they're building to
a SummerSlam.
Yeah,
it's for sure the summer of Punk and McIntyre, and I'm all in on it. I'm just saying, if McIntyre does some shady stuff to get in there, if he does anything other than leave Punk in a bloody heap in the middle of the ring in his own hometown, which, by the way, would get him nuclear heat if he does it, then it will kill my interest in that story.
Well, we only got time for one more thing.
We got a few minutes.
Now we're just going to do this because just in case someone's listening, we want to stay on the clock. I have one last question to ask you. Do you believe in Joe Hendry?
I believe in Joe Hendry. I just want to apologize for Joe Hendry that I didn't believe enough.
I know.
None of us believed enough.
By the way, according to a couple sites, and I don't know if it's real or not, 3,500,000 views of Joe Hendry's entrance.
That dude's insanely catchy.
For NXT.
That dude, you know what he is? He's Oppo MGF is what he is. He's okay in the ring. He's okay. I've gone and watched a few Joe Hendry matches. He's okay. He's nothing special. You put a mic in that dude's hands and let him be Mr. Positivity, and he's great. Also, I will tell you what I do appreciate sincerely as a wrestling fan. It was Frankie Kazarian that eliminated him from that match, who he currently has a feud with on TNA, right? So now they carry what they did in that Battle Royale back to TNA, and they go back and forth. But also, you saw Joe Hendry talking with Ava Rain about doing some stuff. This NXT TNA crossover is growing dramatically, which means we're all going to get more Joe Hendry. Believe in Joe Hendry.
I love to explain to my daughter who he is. He is the king of diss tracks.
Listen, don't explain. I need all of you that are wrestling fans, just go to YouTube Joe Hendry, and click on everything. Click on every Joe Hendry link. It's incredible. The guy's incredible. I am a huge fan, and I have seen him wrestle like 2 matches, 0 live, and I'm already a big fan. I pop. I'm doing the sideways clap forever. Back after this to wrap it up. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. Thank you, Mr. Loudmouth announcer guy. This is the Rob Brown Show. This is the Fan Upstate. Rob and Lonzo with you here. Couple of more things that I wanted to jump on before we get up out of here for the day. Florida, who got bounced from the NCAA baseball tournament yesterday, as did their counterparts, Florida State University. Florida is very much looking forward to basketball season. Why are they looking forward to basketball season? They are looking forward to basketball season for one big reason. Out of Canada is a player who attended IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida. His name is Olivier Rieu. We're getting a lot of the good names today. Olivier Rieu checks in as, and this is certifiably true, I went and looked it up just to make sure, back in 2021, the Guinness World Records declared him as the world's tallest teenager. Lonzo, he checked in at 7 feet, 5 inches tall at age 15. Now, here's the fun part.
Hey, Rob, you can't teach that, by the way.
You can't teach that. Here's the fun part. That was when he was 15. He's now 18 years of age. He was 7'5" when he was 15. Now, Olivier Raoult checks in at 7'9" tall, and because I don't know about you, I hear 7'9" and I automatically think about big old skinny dudes, right? I mean, you've seen these kids that have whatever hormone imbalance that causes you to grow to 7 foot whatever. And a lot of them are big old skinny fellas, right? We're talking about Victor Wembanyama. Big old skinny feller.
Sean Bradley. Manute Bol.
That's it. You know, very rare are the Shaqs that go 7'2", and they're actually built. Most of them are almost odd looking because they're so tall, but they're skinny. Olivier Raoult, Lonzo, is 295 pounds, and it is a well put together 295. Olivier Raoult is capable of dunking the basketball without jumping. And you know how when we talk about 7'2" guys, we're like, oh, you don't even have to jump to dunk, but like they kind of got to hop a little bit, you know, they just got to get up a little bit. This dude does not. He is 7'9". When he puts his big ass arms up in the air, he can quite literally pick the ball out of the air, turn it around, and just drop the ball in the bucket without jumping. I mean this. Short of this guy getting hurt, the plan right now is, according to reports out of Gainesville, that he will take a red shirt in his freshman year. But short of an injury to this cat, how do you stop this guy? How do you stop 7'9", 260, does not have to jump up in the air to dunk? How do you stop that? I got no clue. I got nothing. A 6'9" tall power forward is missing a foot on this cat.
Well, I'm guessing,
how do you stop that?
I'm guessing you play fast, so I suppose the coach will want him to try to play some defense, so he's forced to have to try to go up and down the court. And at his size, how fast can he move?
I mean, honestly, you're right. Fast break offense is your option. We got to get down there and get a field goal attempt up before this big old dude lumbers down there. We got to get down there and put up a field goal attempt before Olivier Raoult gets under the basket. Fee, fi, fo, fum, I'm going to block your shot and make you look dumb. This kid's incredible. Genuinely, the number of college basketball players that I would drive out of my way to go watch play college basketball is frankly not real high. All right? I love college basketball. I'm a big fan. During college basketball season, I will sit at home any night there's not something more important to do and watch college basketball. Not just because I love it, but also because I like to have a little bit of of knowledge about my bracket before we get to March. So I lean on those things, right? I lean on those things. If Olivier Giroux plays in Georgia, plays in Athens, it's a couple hours away, do you think I'm not going to go watch a 7'9", 269-pound player? Shane said, can he shoot? My response, does he need to? Does he need to shoot? No, stand under the basket on the block. I'm going to throw it at the rim. You catch it, which I assume his hand's going to look like he's grabbing a baseball out of the air. Spin and just drop it in the strings, big fella.
Yeah, he's not going to be out on the perimeter shooting threes. At least I don't think so.
I certainly wouldn't put him out there. There's no need to put him out there. Here's one more. LeBron James and Bronny James are not a package deal. That, according to Rich Paul, serving as the agent of both of them, Paul told a couple of outlets yesterday, the Lakers can draft Bronny and LeBron doesn't re-sign. LeBron is also not going to Phoenix for a minimum deal. We can squash that now, end quote. Paul mentioned the Lakers and the Suns specifically and by name because those are the only teams that Bronny Jr. has elected to work out so far. Paul went on to say that the decision to limit workouts to just a few teams is, quote, by design, end quote. He did not go into any sort of emphasis about what that design was or what, if any, implications there are about these workouts. Listen, Bronny is not a first-round pick. He's a 6'2" tall guard who averaged less than 5 points, less than three boards, and less than three assists. Played less than 20 minutes per game as a freshman last year. That's not to say he can't develop into one, but he ain't one yet. But Rich Paul came out straight up, said, just because you take Bronny, don't mean you're getting LeBron. And not taking Bronny does not disqualify you from taking LeBron. And I find this one pretty interesting. So we'll see what, if anything, that shapes up to look like over the next couple of days. Hey, by the way, real quick before we go to what the X is going on, congrats Greenville Triumph 2-0 win at home last night over Charlotte Independence. Occasional striker Evan Lee hit one of the most banginest left-footed goals I have seen in a very, very long time. And my dog Leah got the first goal to open it. So good night for the Triumph last night. They continue to guard Paladin Stadium and make sure that's a tough, tough place to play some footy. Happy Copa America Day to you all, by the way, as well.
All right, time to ask what the X is going on, and Rob will let us know why. The first thing that's texting is Brian Wilson.
Brian Wilson is Xing because he is turning 67 years old.
Dude, it is his birthday on Solstice Day, by the way.
Yes, happy. I was absolutely going to force that into the conversation.
Well, I was going to tie it in even though you took it away from me. Yes, Brian Wilson born today 82 years ago.
God, I'm getting old.
I mean, you should watch the Beach Boys doc on.
Yeah, I got it. I got it saved. It's on the old My Saved Episodes list.
It's pretty good.
I've heard it's pretty good.
Yeah, and the fact that they were competing with the Beatles for number one albums and a bunch of stuff like that, and they had kind of a rivalry, and they go into that. It's really cool. There's no way that they could have done that and him only be 60 years old.
So yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. The next thing that's Xing is George Lucas.
Oh, George Lucas is trending because I think that even those of us that were willing to defend the Acolyte, and even those of us that wanted it to be good, and even those of us that said, let's expand our mind, not every Star Wars story needs to look and feel like the old Star Wars stories, I think even we gave up on the Acolyte. Certainly after episode 3, I have heard nothing good about episode 4 so far. There was a quote from George Lucas as the Acolyte was about to drop where he said, oh, you know, I sold it. It's not my baby anymore. It's you know, sometimes you gotta let them leave the nest and find their own way, whatever. And now just, I'm assuming he's trending because of how many people have gone on the internet and said Star Wars is dead and George Lucas allowed it to die.
Actually, it is. He is trending because people want him back. Because, you know, it's pretty bad because there are some people who are really upset about, like, the prequels and things like that. All those people who don't realize that he makes those movies for children.
Nope.
Out of the words of George Lucas's own mouth, I make those for children.
Nope.
Here's the thing. People want him back because they'd rather have him than what's going on right now.
I will take 10 Jar Jar Binks movies over The Acolyte.
There you go.
Right. See? Now, today. See?
That is why it's Xing.
It's not good, dude. Like, we, yeah, you and I gave
you
it.
You haven't watched the latest episode.
I have not watched episode 4. I finished 3. It's not good. It's just not good. Like, and it's not good in like a, oh, it's too woke. Like, I don't care about that. All right. I'm good with representation across every galaxy. I am fine with gay characters, straight characters, trans characters. Like, I'm fine with all of that. I'm liberob. It's just bad. It's a bad story. It's poorly written. As Lonzo has brought up a couple of times, they all over the canon, right? Like, they're basically like, yeah, we know that that's that thing that made Anakin special and unique and the prophesied one about the entire, whom the entire original trilogy revolved around. But no, we don't like that. So we're just gonna poo-poo all of that and make all of that kind of largely irrelevant. And I don't like it.
It's all a part of George Lucas's plan to get back in the good graces of all those people. And finally, the last thing that is Xing is Kevin Dunn.
Kevin Dunn is trending? Why is Kevin Dunn trending? Where music's playing?
Kevin Dunn is trending because people saw all the good angles from the Wyatt Six.
Okay.
And realized,
I was terrified you were going to be like, Triple H says Kevin Dunn's returning to run the Wyatt Six.
How bad it would have been if he was actually still working for the company.
Lucas, come back. You can blame it all on me. The Acolyte's wrong. All right, that's it. I can't come up with another
lyric.
And we just
can't live without you.
I mean, we can. We already did. We just don't want to anymore. Hey, have a good rest of your day. Thanks for being here. For Lonzo, I'm Rob. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Friday edition is going to be spectacular on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later. Yeah.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Mr. Loudmouth announcer guy. This is the Rob Brown Show. This is the Fan Upstate. Rob and Lonzo with you here. Couple of more things that I wanted to jump on before we get up out of here for the day. Florida, who got bounced from the NCAA baseball tournament yesterday, as did their counterparts, Florida State University. Florida is very much looking forward to basketball season. Why are they looking forward to basketball season? They are looking forward to basketball season for one big reason. Out of Canada is a player who attended IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida. His name is Olivier Rioux. We're getting a lot of the good names today. Olivier Rioux checks in as, and this is certifiably true, I went and looked it up just to make sure. Back in 2021, the Guinness World Records declared him as the world's tallest teenager. Lonzo, he checked in at 7 feet 5 inches tall at age 15. Now, here's the fun part.
Hey, Rob, you can't teach that, by the way.
You can't teach that. Here's the fun part. That was when he was 15. He's now 18 years of age. He was 7'5" when he was 15. Now, Olivier Rioux checks in at 7'9" tall, and because I don't know about you, your hair is 7'9", and I automatically think about big old skinny dudes, right? I mean, you've seen these kids that have whatever hormone imbalance that causes you to grow to 7 foot whatever. And a lot of them are big old skinny fellas, right? We're talking about Victor Wembanyama. Big old skinny feller.
Sean Bradley.
Sean Bradley.
Manute Bol.
That's it. You know, very rare are the Shaqs that go 7'2", and they're actually built. Most of them are almost odd looking because they're so tall, but they're skinny. Olivier Rioux, Lonzo, is 295 pounds, and it is a well put together 295. Olivier Rioux is capable of dunking the basketball without jumping. And you know how when we talk about 7 foot two guys, we're like, oh, you don't even have to jump to dunk, but like they kind of got to hop a little bit, you know, they just got to get up a little bit. This dude does not. He is 7 foot nine. When he puts his big ass arms up in the air, he can quite literally pick the ball out of the air, turn it around, and just drop the ball in the bucket without jumping. I mean this. Short of this guy getting hurt, the plan right now is, according to reports out of Gainesville, that he will take a red shirt in his freshman year. But short of an injury to this cat, how do you stop this guy? How do you stop 7'9", 260, does not have to jump up in the air to dunk? How do you stop that? I got no clue. I got nothing. A 6 foot 9 inch tall power forward is missing a foot on this cat.
Well, I'm guessing.
How do you stop that?
I'm guessing you play fast, so I suppose the coach will want him to try to play some defense. So he's forced to have to try to go up and down the court. And at his size, how fast can he move?
I mean, honestly, you're right. Fast break offense is your option. We got to get down there and get a field goal attempt up before this big old dude lumbers down there. We got to get down there and put up a field goal attempt before Olivier Rioux gets under the basket. Fee-fi-fo-fum, I'm going to block your shot and make you look dumb. This kid's incredible. Genuinely, the number of college basketball players that I would drive out of my way to go watch play college basketball is frankly not real high. All right? I love college basketball. I'm a big fan. During college basketball season, I will sit at home any night there's not something more important to do and watch college basketball. Not just because I love it, but also because I like to have a little bit of of knowledge about my bracket before we get to March. So I lean on those things, right? I lean on those things. If Olivier Giroux, when Olivier Giroux plays in Georgia, plays in Athens, it's a couple hours away, do you think I'm not going to go watch a 7'9", 269-pound player? Shane said, can he shoot? My response, does he need to? Does he need to shoot? No, go stand under the basket on the block. I'm going to throw it at the rim. You catch it, which I assume his hand's going to look like he's grabbing a baseball out of the air, spin, and just drop it in the strings, big fella.
Yeah, he's not going to be out on the perimeter shooting threes. At least I don't think so.
I certainly wouldn't put him out there. There's no need to put him out there. Here's one more. LeBron James and Bronny James are not a package deal. That, according to Rich Paul, serving as the agent of both of them, Paul told a couple of outlets yesterday, the Lakers can draft Bronny and LeBron doesn't re-sign. LeBron is also not going to Phoenix for a minimum deal. We can squash that now, end quote. Paul mentioned the Lakers and the Suns specifically and by name because those are the only teams that Brody Jr. has elected to work out so far. Paul went on to say that the decision to limit workouts to just a few teams is, quote, by design, end quote. He did not go into any sort of emphasis about what that design was or what, if any, implications there are about these workouts. Listen, Bronny is not a first-round pick. He's a 6'2" tall guard who averaged less than 5 points, less than 3 boards, and less than three assists. Played less than 20 minutes per game as a freshman last year. That's not to say he can't develop into one, but he ain't one yet. But Rich Paul came out straight up, said, just because you take Bronny, don't mean you're getting LeBron. And not taking Bronny does not disqualify you from taking LeBron. And I find this one pretty interesting. So we'll see what, if anything, that shapes up to look like over the next couple of days. Hey, by the way, real quick before we go to what the X is going on, congrats Greenville Triumph, 2-0 win at home last night over Charlotte Independence. Occasional striker Evan Lee hit one of the most bangin'est left-footed goals I have seen in a very, very long time. And my dog Leah got the first goal to open it. So good night for the Triumph last night. They continue to guard Paladin Stadium and make sure that's a tough place to play some footy. Happy Copa America Day to you all, by the way, as well.
All right, time to ask what the X is going on, and Rob will let us know why. The first thing that's Xing is Brian Wilson.
Brian Wilson is Xing because he is turning 67 years old.
Dude, it is his birthday on Solstice Day, by the way.
Yes, happy. I was absolutely going to force that into the conversation.
Well, I was going to tie it in even though you took it away from me. Yes, Brian Wilson, born today 82 years ago.
God, I'm getting old.
I mean, you should watch the Beach Boys doc on.
Yeah, I got it. I got it saved. It's on the old My Saved Episodes list.
It's pretty good.
I've heard it's pretty good.
Yeah, and the fact that they were competing with the Beatles for number one albums and a bunch of stuff like that, and they had kind of a rivalry, and they go into that. It's really cool. There's no way that they could have done that and him only be 60 years old.
So yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. The next thing that's Xing is George Lucas.
Oh, George Lucas is trending because I think that even those of us that were willing to defend the acolyte, and even those of us that wanted it to be good, and even those of us that said, let's expand our mind. Not every Star Wars story needs to look and feel like the old Star Wars stories. I think even we gave up on the acolyte. Certainly after episode 3, I have heard nothing good about episode 4 so far. There was a quote from George Lucas as the acolyte was about to drop where he said, oh, you know, I sold it. It's not my baby anymore. It's you know, sometimes you gotta leave, let them leave the nest and find their own way, whatever. And now just, I'm assuming he's trending because of how many people have gone on the internet and said Star Wars is dead and George Lucas allowed it to die.
Actually, it is. He is trending because people want him back. Because, you know, it's pretty bad because there are some people who are really upset about, like, the prequels and things like that. All those people who don't realize that he makes those movies for children.
Nope.
Out of the words of George Lucas's own mouth, I make those for children.
Nope.
Here's the thing. People want him back because they'd rather have him than what's going on right now.
I will take 10 Jar Jar Binks movies over the Acolyte.
There you go.
Today.
See? That is why it's Xing.
It's not good, dude. Like we, yeah, you and I gave.
You haven't watched the latest episode.
I have not watched episode 4. I finished 3. It's not good. It's just not good. Like, and it's not good in like a, oh, it's too woke. Like, I don't care about that. All right. I'm good with representation across every galaxy. I am fine with gay characters, straight characters, trans characters. Like, I'm fine with all of that. I'm Liberob. It's just bad. It's a bad story. It's poorly written. As Lonzo has brought up a couple of times, they all over the canon, right? Like, they're basically like, yeah, we know that that's that thing that made Anakin special and unique and the prophesied one about the entire, whom the entire original trilogy revolved around. But no, we don't like that. So we're just gonna poo-poo all of that and make all of that kind of largely irrelevant. And I don't like it.
It's all a part of George Lucas's plan to get back in the good graces of all those people. And finally, the last thing that is X-ing is Kevin Dunn.
Kevin Dunn is trending? Why is Kevin Dunn trending? Where music's playing.
Kevin Dunn is trending because people saw all the good angles from the Wyatt Six.
Okay.
And realized.
I was terrified you were going to be like, Triple H says Trevin Dunn's returning to run the Wyatt Six.
How bad it would have been if he was actually still working for the company.
Lucas, come back. You can blame it all on me. The Acolyte's wrong. All right, that's it. I can't come up with another
lyric.
And we just
can't live without you.
I mean, we can. We already did. We just don't want to anymore. Hey, have a good rest of your day. Thanks for being here. For Lonzo, I'm Rob. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Friday edition is going to be spectacular on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Later. Yeah.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.